Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, half hour, they're going to be the views of Jeanette Schnall, who's actually moved from the United States down to Chile. And certainly she and her husband had traveled throughout the world for some years, and they were looking for a place they could be safe, and they've decided to go to Chile. And Jeanette has a real estate business there, and she is certainly advertises with us to let people know about the advantages of that part of the world. Now, certainly many years ago, why, Chris, I and my family moved out of the United States, and we actually moved to another area, and we were really very, very surprised at that time. But we enjoyed it a great deal, eventually came back home. I think this is where the Lord wanted us to be. But I do know that certainly some of the intelligence agents, I've been told by two people who retired from intelligence, that they should get out of the country. There's going to be some great difficulty here. One of them is moving to Argentina, another is moving to Europe. And certainly I really believe that this is happening. I think that people know there's going to be civil unrest in this country. There are going to be very real financial problems. And some people are leaving the country. Others, like myself, feel that the battle for the survival of Christian civilization is here. In fact, recently we had Lord Monckton, who's a British lord, and something we've interviewed him several times. He carries the United States Constitution with him because he feels that the American Constitution is the hope of the world, the hope of his country, the hope of the rest of the world. And I believe that, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. But Jeanette's having a wonderful time down there in Chile. And hi, Jeanette, how are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan, how are you today?
We're doing just fine. Well, how's life down in Chile?
Oh, it's great. We're having a lot of rain today, which we really needed. We can't have every day being beautiful and sunny without getting a little rain there. So we're watering all the crops today. But I came down here to Chile, and I am having a wonderful time. It's a very safe country. A lot of freedoms that have been lost up in the north are still here. They don't make us go through body scanners or have, cameras, surveillance on all the street corners. And it's a very stable country, lots of natural resources. And the property rights here are very, very strong. And it's a country where they don't have free speech zones. So it's a place where the government fears the people and the people don't fear the government.
Well, Chile is a beautiful, beautiful country. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Jeanette, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Chile, I think, is about 3,000 miles long. It's got 17 million people in it. It's a very narrow country, but they have one of the strongest currencies in the world. And they had their trial of socialism. Of course, it was a total failure. But we're adopting all the policies that they adopted in Chile before the whole system collapsed. And I think we're going to see some terrible, terrible things here in America and the same sort of violence that drove so many people out of Chile. So if you have a question about Chile, give us a call right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Jeanette, certainly you've been there, what now, for about a year?
Yep, I've been here for over a year, and I came in on my temporary residency visa.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
You can always call in right at this. We move towards the half hour. But if you have a question for Jeanette, what life is like there in Chile in another country, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Jeanette's just saying that the food things that they produce there really are much cheaper than they would be here in the United States. Imported goods are more expensive, but they do have a value-added tax. Now, Chile does not have a welfare state. They do have a social security system, but it's one that really is sort of an ideal for many other parts of the world. And that people pay into their own account. It's their account. It's not the government account. Because if you look and see what's happened to our social security system, with 56 million people retired today, and that's taking 20% of the entire expenditure of the United States, within a decade, social security costs are going to go up 21%. Next 10 years, going to cost 21%. More than it does today. Medicare is going to cost 47% more than it does today. And of course, at that time, why almost all the money that the federal government is going to take in the form of taxes is going to be used to pay Social Security and Medicare. Whereas the system they have in Chile is really sort of an ideal plan, and many people wish we could emulate it in the United States, because the Social Security benefits are not controlled by the American government, which of course collected the money and then spent it because they didn't want to raise taxes, so they just stole the money and spent it, and now that's part of the national debt. In Chile, why, of course, the people actually have their own retirement account, and that's really an advantage. Have you looked into the background? I know you won't certainly qualify for that, but have you looked into the Social Security system they have down there, certainly Jeanette?
Yes, I have. I have read on it, and I agree with all the statements you made about it. It was actually looked into at one point by the U.S. government, I think under George W. Bush. I think at one time they talked about going to a system like they have here. But, yeah, the people here like the system, and it's nice to have be in charge of your own money. So it's a system that people can get into here. It's nice to live in a country where they have limited government, and the government doesn't control everything, especially compared to places like North America and Europe. And Chile doesn't have the funding or the cultural inclination to staff, you know, hundreds of agencies and have the power to confiscate people's assets and micromanage their lives and their investments and stuff. So it's nice to live someplace where they aren't trying to protect us from every possible thing and take care of us cradle to grave.
What about planning commissions, things like that? I mean, if you want to build a house, do they suddenly have restrictions on how you can build it? Or if you want to build your house, can you just go ahead and build it? Do they look at the plans? Or can you actually build your own home there? So certainly in many parts of America, why they got planning commissions going to tell you everything you're going to do when you build a house. What is it like down there when you build a home?
Well, there's a lot of freedom. There is a system that people are supposed to follow, and a lot of poor people don't follow it. For example, they may put up a ramshackle place, and it doesn't necessarily follow what the codes are. And, well, you know, you have that sort of thing going on and competing with what the rules are. And, you know, you can get away with doing things like that here. But the system that you're supposed to follow is that you do get a plan drawn up by an architect, and then you get a builder. You can get quotes from your different builders on how much it's going to cost to build. And then once your whole house is built, you apply for a permitting process where you get received into the municipality with your home, and then that proves that you have had all the inspections for your home, for the water, the electricity, etc., and that makes it much easier to sell your home. Now, a lot of poor people don't go through the system, and, you know, maybe they just have a building on a piece of property that's owned by their family for, you know, centuries or whatever, and they don't bother with it. But the building costs here are very reasonable. It's about $85 a square foot for, you know, a fairly well-built building. You can get things cheaper than that, and you can go very more high-end or luxury-end with more expensive buildings. But that's more or less the price. And everything pretty much here is built, in our area with what they call stick-built or construction with wood, and that's a nice material for seismic buildings. It's very flexible, and it moves with earthquake, because we are in just like California, we are in a seismically active area.
Well, you certainly want something that'll sway if there is an earthquake. What if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Jeanette, give us a call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Sandy calling from Yakima, Washington. Hi, Sandy. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan. Jeanette, you just answered my question. Basically, I was going to ask you if you had any problem with earthquakes or tornadoes or tsunamis there.
Yes, this is just like California, this is a seismically active country. We're in what's called the Rim of Fire. We do have earthquakes, but we don't really have a big one till maybe every 25th year or 50 years, sometimes they go that they really have one that's, say, over 7.0. And just in 2010, we had an 8.8. So I think that we're probably disaster-proof for a couple of decades, probably. We do have small earthquakes regularly, and the country handled it in a very orderly fashion, and I was very impressed how well everyone pulled together, and there was no, you know, major problems, like, for example, Haiti, when they had a large earthquake. Yeah. I think the country just crumbled, but not here. That didn't happen.
And because where we live, Sandy, we live up out of the Rim of Fire. We're not too far from the San Andreas Fault. And when we had our earthquake, there was a fair amount of damage here. But unfortunately, our home was built beautifully and it withstood it. I think we lost one window is about all. Anything else you'd like to ask?
No, that's fine. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Well, Sydney, I think you do have a lot of hot springs and other things of that sort there, don't you, Jeanette?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the nice thing about living in an area like this, I mean, you can look at the glass half empty or half full, but yeah, we do have earthquakes, and yes, they can generate tsunamis, but they have a very good warning system here. And they also have very high standards for building for earthquakes. But we do get to enjoy the beautiful volcanoes, which are, you know, white snowy-capped peaks, you know, just like your Mount Rainier out in the north west there. That's also a volcano. We have our mountains, which are dormant volcanoes that are beautiful. And we have a lot of geothermal activity. So there's wonderful hot springs and that are very beneficial for your health. There are all kinds of places where you can bathe in them, and they have all kinds of, they're a very nice tourist attraction where they have a place where you can have lunch and go to a hot spring. And
well, I've seen the pictures there. In fact, anybody who'd like to look at the pictures can go to our homepage, radioliberty.com, and there's a place called Southern Chile Properties, and you can click on that, and it'll take you right to Jeanette's website, where they have pictures of the area where they live called Seven Lakes. Well, Jeanette, would you like to put out your telephone number and your website? And once again, if anybody would like to call us here, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. They can give me a call. I have a U.S.-based phone number that will ring in my office here in Chile. And I'm not always in the office, so people have to leave a message and I'll call back. And I've had several calls the past couple of days, and I do return my calls, you know, as soon as I have a chance. My phone number, 413-835-7961. It's 413-835-7961. And I welcome people to come take a look at our website, which is www.southernchileproperties.com, southernchileproperties.com. And if you don't remember that, you can type in Southern Chile or Chile Real Estate, and we'll come up in the Google search on the first page. So take a look at our website, and you can reach us. My email is on there, and we have a free report, 15-page report we can send out for people to get some initial information, articles, videos, books, all of our interviews with Radio Liberty are there, and lots of maps and all kinds of information people can learn about the country if they're interested.
Well, apparently a fair number of people have been contacting Jeanette. A fair number of people from all other parts of the world are moving down there, and I understand you have people from Europe moving into your area, and people from California, people from the United States, and even some people from China. Is that right?
Yep, all over the world people are coming here, and the latest number of people seem to be coming from Spain, too.
Well, they're having all sorts of financial problems over there. Telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. What do you say? People are coming in from Spain. Are there a fair number of them coming from Spain?
Yeah, someone sent me an article from a
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
They have a very high unemployment rate right there, and people are looking for jobs, and they're coming to Chile and finding them. Chile wants people to come because they have jobs, and certainly if you have a skill that's needed, why, they will welcome you. Now, suddenly Chile is trying to get people to come, whereas, of course, in other countries, many of them throughout the world, they don't want anybody coming in because they have too many people and a high unemployment rate. Whereas that's not true in Chile. They have a low unemployment rate, and they're looking for people to come in and fill the jobs. So they're doing everything they can to make it attractive for people to come. And certainly, of course, if you're going to go in there as a retiree, which is what Jeanette went in. She and her husband were considered retirees, but Jeanette set up a real estate business, and Sydney, you told me when we last talked, you'd had over 100 inquiries just from our conversations?
Oh, yeah, well over 100. Over that, much more. Probably a couple hundred, actually. I've had probably 100 phone calls just alone. Many, many people asking for our free information. And now people are starting to make bookings. We just had a couple here last week from California that came. They didn't wind up buying a property from me, but they did buy from my neighbor. But there are people that have all the same concerns about things that we talk about here. And it's interesting because a lot of people think that they're alone. They don't have contact with other people that have the same concerns and worries. But there's a lot of people out there, and a lot of people are coming here. You know, that people want to have an out or have an insurance policy, a property someplace else just in case things go really bad. My husband was just telling me that he heard an interview on King World News, and Nigel Farage, I think that's his name, he's I forgot what they call it. It's a member of parliament over in the UK, but some friends of his told him that in Greece, things are getting to be so bad that people with money are buying Kalashnikov rifles there. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see some rich Greeks coming down here.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We got a question for Jeanette. But Jeanette, once more, I want you to tell our listeners how to get in touch with you, your telephone number, your website, and then we'll let you go and we'll open it up for our open lines. But how can people once again get in touch with you?
Sure. It's area code 413-835-7961. 413-835-7961, and our website, www.southernchileproperties.com. That's southernchileproperties.com.
Okay, fine. Well, you have a good evening, and we'll be talking to you later. I guess it's because it's not evening for you. It's just, early in the morning?
Oh, we're 5 hours ahead of you, so okay. I'm at 1:30 a.m.
Okay, very good. Well, good night, and we'll talk to you later.
Good bye-bye. Night. Thanks
again. Okay, bye. Fine. This is Dr. Stan. And Sydney, we're living in a very, very uncertain world. The things that are going on over in Europe, of course, they are destroying the value of the currency over there. And, of course, you have to understand that we used to have a free banking system. In other words, basically, gold and silver were the foundations of our currency. That was a stipulation in our Constitution. But there's always been those who wanted to rule the world and control others. And of course, they then gradually replaced the traditional system, monetary system, outlined in our Constitution, with one where a small group of very wealthy people rule the banks of the world. And today, of course, the America's central bank, we call it the Federal Reserve System, but it has nothing to do with the federal government. It's a privately owned central bank, and they're really running things throughout the world. Basically, of course, they just created $1 trillion out of nothing, and they swapped it with the European Central Bank, which is subservient to our central bank. They're all run by private individuals, people of great wealth, who aspire to bring about a one-world government. And basically now they're distributing that money to banks throughout Europe. They can borrow it for 3 years, I think, of 1% interest. They're using that as a means of massively expanding the money supply over there. But it's going to destroy the whole monetary system. And that's what they want, destroy the monetary system. You destroy the nation. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
While the storm clouds gather, This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctor's education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
LIBERTY or 464-2295. You really can't understand the coming war with Iran unless you understand this whole thing is staged. Why are we going to war with Iran? Oh, Iran, the terrible people over there, a radical people over there, Ahmadinejad, wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, wants to attack the great Satan. I said, Iran is a threat to America. Iran is a threat to Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, this is certainly all being staged to justify the coming war. I mean, basically, people talk about, of course, the assassination recently of one of the Iranian scientists, nuclear scientists, supposedly by the Mossad or some other terrorist organization. And then, of course, how Israel's been trying to kill some, Iran has been trying to kill some Israeli people in other parts of the world. And this is certainly all showbiz. The truth of the matter is, we want to go with the war with Iran. This has been planned for a long period of time. You go back to 1953. Iran had elected a president. His name was Mossadegh. And he was actually overthrown by the CIA. The CIA went in, financed some of the Islamic radicals to demonstrate against the Mossadegh, and he was overthrown. We installed the Shah of Iran. We put him into power. We kept him there until 1979, and then we overthrew the Shah of Iran, and we installed the Ayatollah Khomeini, who had been kept living in the lap of luxury over in Paris for a number of years under the auspices of the CIA. And, of course, then we financed the mullahs once again to help with the overthrow of the Shah to bring the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. We have our people within the Iranian government today. And don't think that we do not. I mean, I believe Ahmadinejad is playing his part very well. He is the typical villain. You always have to have a villain. And just imagine this is a melodrama. He is the villain. Now, we want a war with Iran. Why? Well, Sydney, what do we know for certain? Well, we know because, of course, those of you who heard me speak before, and you can verify this story up in the Internet if you have access to a search engine, you write in Matthew Kronig CFR meeting, war with Iran, and you get the minutes for a meeting that they had recently over there about 2.5 weeks ago, where Matthew Kronig, former senior advisor to Robert Gates, who was at that time, at least until June of last year, was the Secretary of Defense. He preceded Leon Panetta. Robert Gates, longtime member of the CFR. Matthew Kronig, longtime member of the CFR. And Matthew Kronig was the senior advisor on Mideastern Affairs. He gave a talk about 2 weeks ago where he explained that Iran is not building a bomb. Iran hasn't even decided to build a bomb, and that's where we're going to go to war with him. Because if they ever did decide to build a bomb, that'd be dangerous. And when you read his description of what's going on, it's organized madness. The only explanation that can be is we want a justification to go to war. We do. Everything is on a timetable. And you go back and study the Spanish-American War. That was the beginning of America's manifest destiny. They lied to the American people to get us into that war. We know that it's in 1908, why the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, an integral part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, was holding regular meetings every week to determine how to change the world and bring about a world government and world peace. And they decided the way to do it was by launching a war. There was no better way to change the world. How do we know this? Well, I interviewed a man named Norman Dodd. You can actually hear my interview with him in our secret government 4-tape set. And incidentally, we will have the film version of that very, very soon. But Norman Dodd told me that in 1908, he had his investigators go through the files of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. I guess it was probably in 1953 and 1954. And they found that these representatives of the Carnegie Endowment were planning on starting a war in 1908. In 1909, the question was, how are they going to get a war going in Europe and get America involved? We know from other sources that, of course, after the League of Nations failed, then, of course, they began planning on World War II. And after the United Nations failed, they began planning World War III. And that is what lies ahead. Well, let's go to Tim. We've got him calling from Washington. Hi, Tim. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, you talked about having something similar to FDR that was affecting your body that you thought the other day.
Something similar to FDR? What do you mean?
Guillain-Barre.
Oh, no. For myself, no, I have a peripheral neuritis. I got that after I'd taken the hepatitis B vaccine.
Uh-huh.
And basically what the hepatitis B vaccine does, it's made up of a one molecule, and you sensitize the body to that, and of course this is a molecule you find on the hepatitis B molecule that causes hepatitis B, but you also find this in the myelin sheath. And one of the complications of taking hepatitis B vaccine, this recombinant gene, is it produces peripheral neuritis. and it's killed a lot of people, led to many cases of multiple sclerosis. I'm lucky I just have a peripheral neuritis, a lot of weakness of my legs, but I'm doing fine.
Okay, so you pretty much have that under control?
Well, I don't have it under control. I'm not going to enter the marathon again this year, but I have a lot to be thankful for. But, I mean, the incidence of multiple sclerosis, the incidence of peripheral neuritis, the incidence of complications from the hepatitis B vaccine, it is the most dangerous of all the vaccines available today, and we're giving it to our children in the nursery. And they know what they're doing, but, of course, they can't let the public know, and they're doing damage to people all throughout the world with this terrible vaccine.
And the statistics that I read, at least on this disease that he had, they have a test for this. About 4 out of 10,000 people get it, and there is a test for it called a reticulocyte count. So they do a size, shape, type, and a blood cell count on you, and that's how they can tell if you have it or not.
Well, I don't have that. I have a peripheral neuritis, but certainly a Guillain-Barré disease is a terrible disease. It's a viral disease, and there's some people who think that that's what FDR had rather than polio. We'll never know. Anything else you wanted to say, Tim?
Any way I can look up anything to help you on that? Or
oh, I don't think so. We've looked it up that basically once you have this allergy, there's nothing much you can do about it, and we'll just have to put up with it. I'm 83 years old. I'm not going to worry about it. I get around. I'm able to walk and get to the store, and so I have no complaints at all. I've had a full and wonderful life.
Okay. Well, I'll go as far as I can, and if I find anything, I'll call you back.
God bless. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, that was Tim calling from Washington.
And, bye-bye, sir.
Bye-bye. Thank you. And let's go to Ron calling from Washington. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, comment, it's open lines. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, I went to a Ron Paul speech today. Ron Paul was in Richland, Washington. He's been touring Eastern Washington today. And I went down there. I was not able to get in because there are so many people. There were hundreds of people.
That's good to hear. You know, Ron Paul is a very, very courageous guy. He knows what he's up against. He's not going to tell people everything he knows, but he realizes his life is in jeopardy for what he's doing, putting the truth out. But he believes in America. He believes in the cause of freedom and liberty, and he's willing to take the chance. I applaud him.
Yeah, well, there were so many people that they had it in a motel, the whole motel conference room or whatever was completely filled up, and the fire marshal prevented anybody else from going in, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people outside.
Well, you know, basically, he has an awful lot of support. Certainly, I believe that they're rigging some of the elections. There's a great deal of evidence that he won the caucus vote in Maine, and they simply rigged the elections. These people who will involve us in wars, these people who would assassinate Martin Luther King and then have the chutzpah to name a national holiday after him, would kill Bobby Kennedy, would kill Jack Kennedy, would have teams of assassins going around killing people and start wars that kill millions of people. Why should we be surprised that they would rig elections in America?
Well, anyway, there's a whole bunch of people who were supporting Ron Paul, and I could attest to that personally. Haven't seen it, and it was all different demographics, too, by the way, and they were very enthusiastic.
Well, I think the interesting thing is his ideas are getting out, and his ideas appeal to a lot of independents. They appeal to a lot of liberal Democrats. They're very concerned about these ideas of freedom. And so basically, if he runs as an independent candidate, he's going to have the opportunity to continue getting his message out. And if we can simply overcome this falter all about the fact that he's anti-Israel, he is not. He's the only one who really cares about Israel. All the rest of them want to go to war with Iran, which will guarantee that Iran will retaliate against Israel and rain weapons, missiles down on that country. Ron Paul wants to withhold foreign aid, not only from Israel, but the $12 billion we give to the Arab countries that want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Why are we giving foreign aid to countries that want to destroy Israel? If you care about Israel, stop foreign aid. Many of the Israeli leaders say, we don't want your foreign aid. Why? Because that gives us the ability to control their government. Netanyahu is a former member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Nobody in America will ever tell you that. Ron Paul is the only one who really supports Israel, and yet they've convinced so many Christians and Jews he's anti-Israel. So help us get the word out. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, some middle school kids asked me who I thought the best president was, and I was just thinking, you know, all my lifetime, every one of them has pulled some type of shenanigans, you know, the bait and switch and some other things. Plus, you know, are people like Obama just an outright liar, phony? And I said, the best president? That would be Ron Paul, of course.
Okay, so, fine. Well, good for you. Anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
Let's go.
I just thought you'd want a first-hand report.
Well, I appreciate that, Ron. Thanks very much. And it's good to know that there is a lot of enthusiasm up there. I will tell you that basically there's a lot of enthusiasm all across the country. And when you see these demonstrations, you see all sorts of Ron Paul signs. You don't see a lot of Romney signs other than the ones that Romney has passed out. You don't see a lot of Newt Gingrich signs other than the ones that Newt's people have passed out. So basically, you don't see a lot of Santorum signs other than those that Santorum's supporters have passed out. But Ron Paul's supporters make their own signs. They're there because they believe. Thanks so much. God bless. And keep getting the word out.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Bill is calling from Washington State. Once again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295. It's open lines. My voice is getting a little raspy, so if you'd like to call in, go right ahead. Hi, Bill. How are we doing?
Oh, pretty good. I was going to ask you about what you thought in regards to the whole U.S.-Pakistan situation. As you know, the United States has been doing the drone strikes and killing their civilians over there and the women and children for a long time. And then also recently the drone program of, I think it was the CIA, actually killed some of Pakistan's military. And Pakistan and the United States have had this military alliance for a long time that goes way back to training the Mujahideen, and how the funding for the rebels always goes from the CIA into the ISI and into the rebel groups. So I was wondering about the deep politics of it, because on the surface, the leaders of Pakistan had said that the relations are on hold, or at least they were saying that a while back. So do you think that this is kind of an officious thing, and that behind the scenes the CIA-ISI relationship would, you know, that it's a continuing relationship?
Well, I believe, of course, that we have our people planted at the highest echelons of the Pakistani government. But I will tell you, there are an awful lot of people in Pakistan who know what's going on, who know that the CIA controls the Pakistani intelligence, and they're very infuriated with America. I believe we are going to end up with a war with Pakistan. I believe that there is going to be a nuclear war in that part of the world. Now, why? Well, you've heard me talk about it before, but have you ever read the Sybil Edmonds story, Bill?
I have a couple articles on hold of her that I'm going to read. But
You've got to read it. Basically, do you have a computer?
Oh, yeah.
Go to your search engine and type in Radio Liberty, Sybil Edmonds story. and just get my article. Sybil Edmonds worked for the FBI interpreting telephone conversations. A lot of them had been recorded in Arabic, Farsi. She spoke these dialects. And she found out that there was a spy ring operating at the highest echelon of the American State Department that was transferring nuclear technology and wherewithal to Pakistan. So she said, we better stop this. She reported to the FBI, and they said, we know about it. We're not allowed to do anything. She said, we've got to tell the American people we're transferring the nuclear bomb technology to Pakistan. They said, you can't do it. You've signed a secrecy agreement. She took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Every court held that we can never let the American people know the truth, how we were transferring nuclear technology to Pakistan. We've actually helped Pakistan to get the bomb. I believe this is long-term planning for the nuclear war that is coming. And believe me, it's going to be a terrible and bloody war, and we will not escape the consequences. Anyway, it's a frightening thing. This is one of the most important essays I ever wrote. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
With all and the ability to build nuclear weapons to Pakistan. If you doubt that, you need, of course, to go to my website, radioliberty.com, and scroll down to the article on the Sybil Edmonds story, or simply if you have a search engine on your computer, type in Radio Liberty Sybil Edmonds story. Read it, reread it, go up on the internet, pull down the article out of the London Sunday Telegraph, I think it is, at Times, I'm not sure which, and understand that we have given the information, the technology, the wherewithal to build nuclear weapons to Pakistan. Why would we have done that? Well, it's very, very simple. We want a nuclear war with Pakistan and with the Muslim world. And people say, why would anybody in the right sense that? I would say, why would anybody in the right sense talk about killing off 90% of the world's population? If you haven't, Sydney, seen my pamphlet on the population control agenda, you need to get it. You need to see the reference to a man named Dr. Sam Keen speaking at the Gorbachev conference in 1995, talking about the necessity of killing off 95% of the world's population. You need, of course, to read the National Security Study Memorandum, NSSM 200. You get it from Radio Liberty. You can pull it down off the internet as well, where, of course, they talk about simply eliminating most of the population of the world. You need, of course, to hear my talk on planned population reduction. It's a DVD. Planned population reduction, or the Nandar genocide talk, or Sydney, our four tape set on population control. They're all very important, and you need to read my treatise on the population control agenda. You can get it off the internet. You can get it off our website at radioliberty.com. We're going to war with Iran. We're going to war with the Islamic world. Make your preparations accordingly. And just hope and pray I'm wrong. I wish I were, but everything convinces me it's not a matter of if, but when, and how many millions of people will die in this coming planned, orchestrated war. Well, Bill, I'll let you go. God bless. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you shortly. Anyway, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily...
Hello. You read the American Spectator because you care about the future of our country. I bet you also really care about the future of conservative ideals like free markets and limited government. At the American Spectator, we're doing our part to defend these noble ideals, and so can you. Click on the fundraising thermometer on the page behind me to show your tax-deductible support.
The key to understanding everything is my talk, the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can see the talk, or you can read the book. I suggest both of them. Then listen to our talk on the dark secret and on the forbidden secret. And certainly we hope you get the syllabus. Is it? Go with that. That's a good place to begin. And then, of course, my talk on the planned population reduction. This is not imaginary. It's real. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world. Look up on the internet Dr. Eric Pianke, P-I-A-N-K-E. He's a professor at the University of Texas who openly talks about the necessity of killing off 90% of the population of the world. These people are deadly serious, and you need to help us get the information out. And it's going to take something like this to get people aware of what's going on, but please help us. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then, please, of course, please pray for America. Pray for Ron Paul and Joyce Riley and Congressman Ron Paul, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. from the mountain, through the prairie.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend William Grigg. William, how are you tonight?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. It's always an honor and a privilege to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Well, it's good to have you back. And, of course, for those who don't know William, why, he, for many years, was the senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now he's the managing editor of Republican Magazine. He is a prolific writer. He certainly writes the Radio Liberty newsletter because I've got so many things, I can't do it all, and so taking a step back, and he's doing a magnificent job, and we've had lots of words of praise for William Grigg's dissertations. You'll certainly want to get the February newsletter. It'll be going out hopefully in another week or so. But William, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, when you talk about illusion being enthroned, which is a persistent theme of our conversations and one of the most acutely important subjects we can address, one of the best examples and most destructive examples of orchestrated illusion is false flag terrorism. And right now, as we see this unmistakable tropism toward some kind of a major war involving either Iran or Syria or perhaps both, we see that there's literally a whole field full of false flags that are catching the breeze right now. Most recently, of course, just today, the FBI cashed in yet another chit, if you will, by staging yet another, I think this is the 20th, sting operation / provocateur operation involving some poor schlep who ended up being caught in this network of patsies and provocateurs that the Homeland Security Theater Company has strewn across the country precisely to entrap people for the purpose of having the occasional high-profile terrorism bust. This fellow, who is Moroccan, he arrived here as an illegal immigrant in Virginia about 15 years ago. He's 29 years old. His name is Amin El Khalifi. And he was arrested supposedly for an attempt to conduct a suicide terrorist operation against the United States Capitol. Of course, the so-called terrorism vest and purported automatic weapon he had been given were inoperative. They'd been given to him by a terrorism facilitator. That's not a coinage of my invention. That's something, an expression, a term of art, terrorism facilitators, that was used by a federal prosecutor in a case in New Jersey a couple of years ago that was very, very similar to what we're seeing today. He talked about the fact that the confidential or cooperating informant working for the Joint Terrorism Task Force in New Jersey was a terrorism facilitator. That, I think, is a perfectly accurate and candid description. I believe this is what would qualify as a snafu or a lapse in judgment, if you will, on the part of the prosecutor, because usually they're not nearly that forthright in describing what they do. But this individual, Amin El Khalifi, was under the sway of a terrorism facilitator. The thing that I find most interesting about this is that he had been investigated by the police, and they had found nothing at all wrong or amiss or suspicious in what he was doing. That was before the FBI swooped in and manufactured this supposed terrorism plot involving this marginalized and influenceable young man. And this is the sort of thing that is happening with metronomic regularity both here and abroad, and it's part of this orchestrated effort to create war fever on the part of the public.
It really is. I mean, I don't have any sympathy for this young man, who obviously, supposed, quite willing to kill people, just like the underwear bomber, I think, that he was set up. They built a bomb that they knew wouldn't go off for him. And I think it was so interesting that he was supposedly part of this Al-Zawaki, whatever his name was. But I mean, he was obviously quite willing to go along with this. We'll be right back. Go right ahead with him.
Yes, to understand is not to sympathize. And to seek to discern a motive is by no means an effort to justify when you're talking about people who profess a willingness to commit crimes of violence, particularly crimes of mass murder. And they cannot be justified by any moral matrix. That being said, this must be said as well. When you're dealing here with somebody who had displayed no evidence of criminal intent before the federal government got involved, you have to implicate the federal government for creating the motive or catalyzing the motive on the part of the individual. That's one of the reasons why there is this legal principle called entrapment. It's very difficult to prove, but if you can prove that the federal government or whatever branch of government, whatever law enforcement agency, supplied not only the means but the narrative and defined the objective and facilitated, there's that word again, facilitated the act, then you have a case of entrapment. And the fact that a federal prosecutor working with the Joint Terrorism Task Force in New Jersey referred to so-called cooperating informants or cooperating witnesses, confidential informants, as terrorism facilitators gives the game away. If they're facilitating it, it is entrapment. What has happened since September 11th, 11 years almost, 10 years and counting, is that the FBI and the Corps of U.S. Attorneys have effectively defined the principle of entrapment out of the law for the purposes of prosecuting people who may not be particularly reputable or moral individuals, but whose actions were scripted by the agency that arrests them for performing the part that had been written for them. And that was very much the case with this 29-year-old Moroccan expatriate by the name of Amin al-Khalifi. He lived in Alexandria, Virginia. Anybody who's been to Alexandria would understand, of course, that that is a city which is a wholly owned subsidiary, if you will, or a company town, better stated, of the military, industrial, homeland security, intelligence complex. And so it's very easy if you're living in Alexandria, Virginia, and you're somebody who meets a broad profile of the enemy du jour, it's very easy to set up a scenario that could lead to entrapment. And that was the case here, pretty clear. The landlord of the apartment he lived in Alexandria, is a fellow by the name of Frank Dinda, D-Y-N-D-A. I'm referring now to the Washington Post account of what happened here. He's a retired patent attorney, and he told the Washington Post, with respect to Mr. Khalifi, he was getting mysterious packages labeled books, but I didn't think there were books in them. Let's stop right there. Mysterious packages called books. This is a see-something, say-something example. In all probability, they were books.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Whitney is just pointing out that certainly we have informants out all over across America, men being paid a great deal of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to pretend to be terrorists, to encourage other people to go along with terrorism. Maybe the people, they're Muslims, but they appeal to their belief in the Quran, to loyalty to Muhammad, or their loyalty to Allah, and some remarks in the Quran that justify violence against, of course, infidels. And then, of course, they egg them on and they indoctrinate them and they talk to them and they befriend them and they make them feel important and they get them to go along with some sort of a terrorist attack. They provide the explosives, case in point, an explosive vest, a simulated automatic weapon. Of course, the explosive vest wasn't an explosive vest. The automatic weapon wasn't an automatic weapon. But they create this mirage, this illusion, that now they're going to be able to die for Allah. And by appealing to that, of course, now they're entrapped. And once they have everything in place, they spring the trap. And now we have another terrorist. And, of course, this is all designed to convince the American people there's a real threat of terrorism. With all of the informants they have out there, tens of thousands of them. Why, they've only been able to entrap perhaps maybe about 20 people a year into these bizarre programs. And they pay the informants very, very well, because then we have our InfraGuard. That is mm-hmm. another system of informants that they have out there. Tens of thousands of Americans informing on other Americans, just reporting what they're doing. And then they have a system that they set up many years ago. They tried to recruit me into that 40 or 50 years ago, and all I had to do was go to cocktail parties and prepare information on what was said, who said it, because they keep dossiers on literally everyone in America. They've been doing it for 50 years. They have CIA files. They have FBI files. They have DARPA files. They have Office of Homeland Security files. You probably have three or four different files. And then, of course, they coordinate all of these through their fusion centers. So that now everybody has a number, they have a file on everybody, and they're collecting information on them. In fact, I found out today that if you have an Apple computer, you have an Apple iPhone or iPod, why, they have the ability to pull all of the personal data that you have on your phone off without your knowledge. And Apple was a little embarrassed when it was pointed out they do that, because they have other software there where they can track every place you've been. Every time you use your phone, there's a permanent record of what cell tower you use. So they're able to track your movements. They're able to listen to what you say, whether your iPhone or your cell phone is on or off. And now, if you have anything in there in the way of suddenly your friends or remarks about anything, that is all public record. It can be pulled down off your iPad, iPhone, without your knowledge or consent. Go right ahead.
Well, one of the things that we found as well is that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security have been hiring contractors, people who are in the business of transcribing long and often detailed conversations and keeping watch on threads that are posted on social networking sites, Facebook being the most conspicuous, in order to collate content that deals with criticism of the federal government, specifically FEMA, which, of course, is an entity that has no excuse for existing, no constitutional justification. Same can be said of the Department of Homeland Security. You're dealing here with basically a recrudescence of the Cheka from the Soviet Union, the Gestapo in Nazi Germany. But they're hiring people who are private contractors, probably working in the same sort of a sense that, say, the Bureau's press clipping agency used to function. I don't know if Bureau's is even a business anymore, but they used to be hired by people who had a public profile, who were zealous to find out what was being said on television and on radio programs, what was being printed in various periodicals about them, about their company, about their products, and so forth. I actually worked for Bureau's a couple of decades ago. And you'd be given keywords to search for and to monitor in television and radio broadcasts. We were given at that time, of course, VHS cassettes, and we had to go through them at two times normal speed to try to pick out a list of keywords that we were supposed to find, and then we would transcribe what was said about the client. Now, that's the same kind of a thing that the FEMA and DHS agencies are doing. The difference being, of course, that when they get that information, they collate it and they insert it into databases, and they use this as a way of developing profiles of people who would be put on no-fly lists or be flagged for heightened security, heightened scrutiny by law enforcement agencies, whether you're talking about Muslims, who, of course, it have been and remain probably the most prominent members of the official demonology. But just in the last several months, we've seen a greater emphasis on the so-called menace of people described as sovereign citizens. That's an elastic category that can contain anybody who understands that in the American system, the individual and not the government is sovereign. Our rights are non-negotiable. Our rights are given to us by our Creator. Government is our servant, ergo we are sovereign over the government. That, of course, is the foundational assumption behind the American concept of government. It begins with the individual. The rights, of course, exist. They exist anterior to the government. They are superior to the government. Government's existence is contingent, and when government becomes destructive of the protection of the rights of the sovereign individual, it's the government that has to yield. Now, if you believe those things, and if you express those opinions out loud, and if in expressing those opinions, you implicate the unspeakably foul people who are running the government that presumes to rule us, that you're considered to be a sovereign citizen, whether or not you're involved in tax protesting or any of the other things that are some of the marquee or high-profile examples of the supposed iniquity of the sovereign citizen movement. And if you meet that profile, you're somebody who could be flagged as a potential domestic terrorist. And if that material ends up in any of the various databases, they, of course, are all eventually pooled into one common community of information. If you're flagged in that way, then that information can become accessible anytime that the government can exercise some kind of chokehold on your freedom of travel, whether you're talking about getting an airline ticket, being allowed to board a flight. At some point, of course, this is going to be used as justification for restricting your freedom of movement through other avenues, because the TSA is extending its malevolent influence from the airports now to bus stations and highway checkpoints and way stations for people who are involved in long-haul trucking and so forth. One of the things I mentioned in last month's newsletter, Dr. Stan, you might recall, is this episode from a couple of years ago when a freelance photographer in Los Angeles was taking pictures of turnstiles at a subway station or a train station, if I remember correctly. And a Los Angeles County sheriff walked up to him and asked what he was doing and demanded identification. And the photographer said, "Am I under arrest?" And the deputy sheriff said no. And he said, "Well, then I mind my own business, and I recommend that you do the same," which is, of course, how an American is supposed to respond. You know, the agents of the state have no standing permission to demand identification of us or to ask what we're doing if what we're doing is not obviously a criminal act. Well, at that point, the deputy sheriff, who's, of course, a new issue, he's part of the new model of law enforcement. He's not one of the blessed throwbacks that we run into who remember the Constitution and remember the fact that they're supposed to be peace officers. There are a few out there. Unfortunately, these are people who are cycling out of the system as they reach retirement age. He was part of the new model army of domestic law enforcement. He said, "Look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put your information into this pool of data that will be accessible through our liaison, our terrorist liaison office with the federal government. And every time you fly, every time you try to take a train, you're going to end up getting flagged and you're going to get harassed." In other words, this guy was using the leverage provided him by this vertically integrated, holistic, unitary counterterrorism system to extract leverage or to exert leverage on this person to harass him and make his life miserable, simply in order to make a point that the citizen is supposedly subordinate to him as an agent of the almighty state. And that's the sort of thing that has become very commonplace, and it's only getting worse. And that's one of the reasons, Dr. Stan, why I keep coming back to the way that the federal government has orchestrated these dozens of patently bogus false flag domestic terrorist operations here involving Muslims. Because the tactics that have been used on Muslims have been used before against people who are considered so-called right-wing extremists. There's this horrible, horrible operation of decades standing called PATCON, Patriot Conspiracy, is what that neologism refers to, PATCON. And Jesse Trenadue, who is an absolutely heroic and magnificent individual who's an attorney in Salt Lake City, he's an attorney in the same sense that many members of the founding generation were attorneys. He believes in protecting individual liberty through law and vindicating rights through the court system rather than using it as an instrument of repression and the enrichment of corrupt elites. His brother, Kenny, was beaten to death by the FBI shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing in a case of mistaken identity. They thought he was John Doe number two, or one of several John Does, and he just happened to meet the physical description of one of the John Does that was in custody in the system elsewhere, Mr. Guthrie, I believe his name was. In any case, Kenny was killed. He was murdered after being tortured in a cell in Oklahoma, and his body was mangled beyond recognition. He was supposedly a suicide victim, but he chose several different ways to kill himself, and he did them all simultaneously, if we believe the official narrative. Jesse started investigating what happened to his brother, and he came across this PATCON operation, which was nothing more or less than infiltrating the so-called radical right and creating these bogus false flag terrorist operations, the most conspicuous and destructive of which was the attack on the Oklahoma City bombing, or Oklahoma City Federal Building, by bombing it in 1995.
You're absolutely right. It's a tragic story, and the difficulty is that nobody's ever been punished for torturing this man and, of course, beating him to death. But then the same thing happened over in Iraq. A number of people were tortured to death, beaten to death by members of our military, and they got off without any punishment at all. Go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Episode, I think it was just last night, where, of course, one of the hero police officers, somebody has hit a female police officer who was actually dealing, was actually gambling on the side, and so this criminal out that they had to hit her a couple of times or went off duty. So, of course, when they went out to arrest this guy, they smashed his face and they smashed his head. And for no reason at all, other than to get even with him for having mishandled a female police officer. Well, I don't care what that guy has done. I mean, I don't care how bad he is. It is not up to the police to mete out justice. And yet, of course, you sympathize with him. You understood. You almost wanted to cheer him on getting back at this disreputable guy. And what they're doing, of course, is manipulating your emotions. They're using television to get you to go along. Well, it's perfectly all right for the police officers to mete out justice and to smash somebody's face and smash them in the stomach and smash them in the head. You know, meting out justice before they ever get before a bar of justice. And ladies and gentlemen, when we begin to justify that, why, we're in real trouble. This is what they do in the military. What really disturbs me most of all is that all of the Republican presidential candidates support torture. Every one of them, not one of them, except for Ron Paul, would speak out against, they call it enhanced interrogation. Well, that's simply a code word for torture. Oh, well, it was just waterboarding. No, it wasn't waterboarding. They were using electrical stimulation to the male genitalia. Read what really happened at Abu Ghraib prison. Read Major General Taguba's report.
Yeah.
Major General Taguba, the highest ranking Filipino officer in the U.S. military, was asked to investigate what happened at Abu Ghraib, but he was told by a superior officer that if he told the truth, it would end his military career. Well, Major General Taguba was a man of integrity, unlike so many of our military officers today, tragically. And, of course, he did tell the truth, and he was called by a superior and told to submit his resignation. Now, maybe the other military officers thought it was wrong, but they didn't have the courage to speak out, and they did not have the courage to resign their commissions and lead an expose of what we are doing and how we are torturing helpless prisoners, and most of them don't even have anything to reveal. And I want you to think of their screams. And then think of the response of Mitt Romney and of Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich and of Perry when asked about torture. And the only one who said anything was Ron Paul, who said, it's immoral, it's illegal, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's not an efficient means of getting information. And yet all the rest of the Republican presidential candidates and our current president support torture. What commentary is that on America? And not only that, but what about our religious leaders? Why aren't they speaking out against torture? Why aren't our political leaders speaking out against torture? Why aren't the American people calling into every radio program and saying torture is wrong? That's the sort of thing the North Vietnamese did. That's the sort of thing the communists did. That's the sort of thing the Nazis did. That's the sort of thing that Americans do today, now that we've turned our back on God. Go right ahead, would you?
That's exactly right, Dr. Stan. And the term enhanced interrogation in English is the direct translation of the term in German that was used to describe the same suite of torture techniques. The biggest difference is the Germans didn't use waterboarding, although the Imperial Japanese did. And there were interrogators who worked for the Imperial Japanese Occupation Force who were hanged after World War II following war crimes trials because of torture.
back in just a moment. Our guest this evening, William Grieg. But, of course, I would certainly ask, where are our religious leaders? And why aren't they speaking out?
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
William, you go right ahead.
One of the things that did happen a few years ago is that the leader of one of the major Southern Baptist groups, and I can't remember who it was, wasn't, of course, the major Southern Baptist conference, but there was a regional group of Southern Baptists who explicitly condemned torture on the basis of the fact that it is entirely incompatible with the core message of Christian morality found in the Sermon on the Mount. If you don't get the Sermon on the Mount right, it's really difficult to say that you're in any sense a Christian disciple. And if you don't understand how torture is a violation of the Golden Rule, which is a non-negotiable bedrock moral teaching of the universe, then it's really difficult to say, once again, that you could be considered a follower of that individual who, as God in human flesh, was subjected to every fiendish means of imposing cruel pain on the human form that the satanically inspired mind of the Roman imperial government could devise before he gave his life on the cross. Jesus was tortured. He was tortured by the peacekeeping troops of an imperial army of occupation that was upholding a satrapy that was offended by the message that Jesus was teaching regarding God's sovereignty and the fact that the individual and God can have a relationship unmediated by a human government of any kind. That's the sort of thing that gets people killed, because people who seek power, people who have made that satanic bargain that they worship the adversary, that they can have dominion over the kingdoms of the world that belong to the adversary, people like that recognize who their real enemies are. And those enemies are the ones who teach that principle of God's sovereignty and of the non-negotiable dignity of the human individual who is created in God's image. And one of the things that I found out, and I've mentioned this in our newsletters, Dr. Stan, is that in opinion surveys that have been taken of American Christians, there's more support for torture among American Christians than there is any other cohort of people anywhere on the face of the earth. There's a higher approval rate for torture among American Christians than there is among Muslims in Saudi Arabia. Something is seriously wrong with that picture, perhaps fatally so. And I think that the fact that we're dealing with these issues domestically here is a representation of God's judgment. He's giving us what we have chosen. At some point, you know, God will recognize what we want, whether it's good or evil, and he'll let us have it good and hard. And I think that one of the things that we're seeing right now, as we're beset with corruption and economic tumult and ever increasingly palpable depression, is that God is letting us have what we have chosen.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan in Sydney. William was just saying that there have been surveys taken of American Christians, and the one group, certainly whether it be Muslims or whatever it would be with other religions, why, because more Christians support torture than the Muslims over in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere. Why? Well, of course, we justify this. You see, we may save an American life, and so if we have to torture some helpless individual that doesn't know anything, but as long as it's going to protect us, it's justified. Ladies and gentlemen, it's immoral, it's illegal, and not only that, but it's unreliable. It doesn't work. Why are we doing this? Because we've lost the moral fabric that once made America the envy of the world. William, go right ahead.
We also ignore the fact, and this once again goes back to the principle that the Golden Rule is universal. It admits of no exceptions. There's certainly no expiration date on it, and there's no geographic limitation on the Golden Rule. That which we authorize the government to do to anybody, we authorize it to do to everybody, including ourselves. And in a previous newsletter, actually it might be the February newsletter going out in a few days, you mentioned Dr. Stan, I talk about and juxtapose the case of this horrible video of the U.S. Marine sniper team urinating on the dead bodies of Afghan rebels. We don't know anything about the Afghans apart from the fact that they have been killed by U.S. Marines. They might have been quote-unquote terrorists. They might have been guerrillas. They might have been people who were involved in some kind of a legitimate patriotic resistance to an army of occupation. One of the principles Americans don't understand is that if we're fighting a counterinsurgency war anywhere in the world, we're not on the right side of that proposition. There are circumstances in which active defense would require, perhaps, the deployment of American troops overseas in order to deal with a legitimate threat to the United States or in order to beat back a foreign aggressor. I can contrive of circumstances. I can conceive, rather, of circumstances in which that might happen. It's really difficult to think of them, but that's a possibility. But if you're in a country occupying it and fighting a counterinsurgency war, you're fighting the wrong war, and you end up in circumstances where Americans are fighting the home team, in the same sense that Redcoats were fighting against the home team here, when the United States, with the help of the French, and with the strategic help, ironically enough, of Catherine the Great, the Tsarina of all the Russians, who put together an anti-British coalition that kept them tied up overseas, while the United States, that is to say the states that had seceded from the British Empire that would become the United States of America, were fighting for their independence. We had some fairly unsavory allies in that struggle. In the same sense, when the United States ends up invading and occupying a country and trying to put down an insurrection, whether you're talking about the Philippines at the turn of the 20th century or Afghanistan today, you end up with situations in which you don't know whether you're actually killing somebody who is a terrorist or an aggressor, or if you're dealing with somebody who's a patriot just wants to get the foreigners out of his country, as we would want to evict foreigners from our own. But you have this video of these American Marines who were in an act of vulgar and sadistic triumph, urinating on the dead bodies of Afghans who died on their own home soil, fighting people who didn't belong there, and then cackling and sadistically as it did so. And of course, when this video made the rounds about a month and a half ago, just about everybody, with a couple of laudable exceptions, said this isn't how Americans are supposed to behave, irrespective of the circumstances. Regardless of the identity and the motives of the people who were killed, you don't desecrate a body of a fallen enemy. It's just not done. It's not Christian. It's not decent. It's not moral. It's not American. There were a handful of people who said that, but the preponderance of opinion here in Idaho, for instance, because I listen to local talk radio, was that they got what they deserved, because obviously they're terrorists. If they hadn't been terrorists, then they wouldn't have been killed. Well, at about the same time that that story hit the wires and hit the television and cable news networks, there was a story out of Pennsylvania involving a lawsuit filed by a woman who about a year ago was involved in an arrest. A couple of state troopers had pulled over the car that was being driven by her companion. I think it was her boyfriend rather than her husband. He was arrested for intoxicated driving. She got out of the car and said, "What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to deal with this?" You know, she wasn't driving. She was a passenger. But she was tasered and thrown into the snow and arrested for disorderly conduct. And then she was taken to the station house with her hands handcuffed behind her back, and she was abused and treated disdainfully there by the people at the facility that were responsible for her intake information. At one point she complained that she was she needed to use the restroom or some other function. And apropos of nothing, and in response to no threatening behavior on her part, she received a face full of pepper spray. This, of course, is a weaponized form of capsicum, which is the active ingredient in hot peppers. It's refined to a point where it can cause injury, and if you've got asthma or some other respiratory problem, it can actually lead to suffocation or some kind of acute respiratory distress that could lead to death. Well, she was complaining that she wasn't able to get the pepper spray residue out of her face. So she was dragged out behind the state police substation. This, of course, in the middle of the winter. She's not wearing a coat. I don't even know whether she's wearing shoes at the time. She was dragged out to the back and thrown face down in the snow. And at some point she passed out, whether because she was intoxicated or because of the stress. Perhaps she had the type of a blackout that sometimes is the result of trauma. But when she woke up, it was clear that she had been urinated on by her captors. They had done to her what the Marines had done to the dead bodies of these Afghans who were killed. And I couldn't resist the fact that you have these two examples of the same type of despicable, loathsome, inhuman behavior. One of them involving an American citizen who may not have been particularly reputable, but you certainly should not have tortured her, and you certainly should not have defiled her by relieving yourself on her. And on the other hand, you have this example overseas of people who were fighting on their home soil once again, who may or may not have been terrorists or Taliban, but who certainly should not have been treated the way that they were, even in death. That's not the sort of thing that honorable people would ever do. Those really compelling examples that illustrate the unitary awfulness of this degenerate government that has been imposed on us by the people you refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. Here's another really compelling example of what I'm talking about. We see the profiling of people as a potential threat because they're supposedly sovereign citizens, and you see the relentless drumbeat of indoctrination of the law enforcement agencies, sheriff's departments, police departments, state police departments, and so forth, about this internal threat. What that does is that creates a predisposition on the part of the police to take immediate violent action where it may not be justified, or where it's dubiously justified. And just a couple of days ago in Scottsdale, Arizona, there was a case of that sort. If your listeners would go to republicmagazine.com, second from the top of the news stories at Republic Magazine's website right now, is a piece bearing the title, John G. Luxas, L-O-X-A-S, was armed with a baby, so a Scottsdale cop shot him in the head. Mr. Luxas is somebody who has a history. I don't know if we're dealing with somebody who is just exuberantly eccentric or somebody who is ideologically impassioned to the point of being injudicious, or if you're dealing with somebody who had some kind of psychological problem, but he did have a history. He didn't get along with his neighbors. He was somebody who entertained, I would consider them to be delusions of grandeur. He was thinking about running for the presidency in spite of the fact that he was an obscure guy with no financial support and no name recognition. I mean, there's a sense, perhaps, in which that would reflect an excessively and unjustifiably high opinion of oneself. But he's somebody who had been very forthright and outspoken in expressing condemnation of the banking combine of the federal government, of the three-letter agencies that afflict our country, and so forth. And so he was somebody who was already known to the police department that had a run-in with him a couple of years ago, in which he was accused of a disorderly conduct. His neighbors, who obviously didn't like him, said that he was yelling at them and arguing with them. And in Arizona, this is an important part of the story. In Arizona, of course, people can carry weapons openly, so he was wearing a sidearm strap to his hip. I see that, and I think that's a wonderful arrangement, because I think that, as Robert Heinlein said, an armed society tends to be a polite society, in a sense. But the police originally were sent there because they suspected that they might be dealing with somebody who was a menace to the neighborhood. He wasn't arrested on aggravated assault charges, which is what would have happened if he would have actually been threatening somebody with a handgun. He was arrested for disorderly conduct charges. And disorderly conduct just could mean anything that strikes an officer using his subjective judgment as inappropriate public behavior. That was a couple of years ago. Just a few days ago, he was out walking with his 9-month-old grandson. And he had another argument with a neighbor, and at some point, he did something which is rude and unconscionable. He allegedly kicked this man's garbage can into the street and said something confrontational and derogatory to him. Bad thing to do. I don't think that's neighborly. I don't think that's right. I would consider that to be a tortious offense. But the police were called, and once again, they were led to believe that this guy was some kind of an armed threat. And they showed up. He was outside on his front yard with his 9-month-old son. The police ordered him to step away from the house, and instead he ran into the house. This is somebody, once again, who had a high profile politically. He's somebody who meets the profile of a sovereign citizen. I think that those are...
Mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. And here he draws
after
the illustration. Don't make a promise that you're not...
20 minutes, during which time the police department escalated the conflict by adopting a military protocol to a situation that didn't call for it. Mr. Loxus poked his head out the window. He was once again... in the company of his nine-month-old grandson. He was holding the grandson. He reached down to put his grandson on the floor, and at that point, a police officer who's a SWAT veteran by the name of James Peters shot him in the head. He wasn't armed. He wasn't threatening anybody. After the fact, they said that they justified this because they were afraid for the safety of the child, which, of course, makes no sense, given the fact that you're throwing hot lead in the general direction of a nine-month-old child in a situation in which it's very easy that that child, or very likely that that child is going to become a victim rather than the subject or the suspect. They searched the house. They found a grand total of two firearms, which, of course, is not at all unusual, except perhaps for the fact that in your standard Arizona household, you expect to find more than two. They found a handgun, and they found a shotgun. Both of them were loaded. What use is an unloaded gun? But neither of them was within reaching distance of the place where Mr. Loxus fell. They later found an object that was described as a functional improvised explosive device. For all I know, that's an aerosol can. Just about anything can be turned into an improvised explosive device if it has the right kind of medium inside of it. That could be a bag of fertilizer, for instance. It could be a large box of kitchen matches. There are all kinds of mischief that one can wreak with common household items. And all that is required, of course, is a subtext or a context here. And the police can supply that after the fact to justify what looks to me pretty much like a case of capital homicide, because the situation did not justify the use of lethal force by any means. This officer, as I mentioned before, is a SWAT veteran. He has been involved in seven
previous in his work.
Officer-involved shootings, six of which were fatal, at least three of which were in circumstances in which the suspect was not armed with a firearm, one of which involved a suspect who was armed with a pipe surrounded by officers with high-performance weapons and body armor. But I suspect that the critical fact here is that Mr. Loxus fit the political profile of a dissident and a dangerous potential terrorist because he was seen as a sovereign citizen. That's the residue of the indoctrination that Morrisey's and people of his despicable ilk have been involved in for decades now. They've created not merely a hair-trigger disposition on the part of police, but a sense of all-encompassing menace on the part of at least one section of the public that is politically aware and active.
Well, I think that we really should be very concerned about the militarization of our police and about the SWAT teams. They are there to represent the people and to maintain law and order, not to threaten them with a militarized action. Now, before we go on, William, I would like you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can certainly read your articles in Republic Magazine, how they can find your PayPal button. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. RepublicMagazine.com is the website for Republic Magazine, RepublicMagazine.com. And it's updated daily at least once. And it contains both fresh content in terms of news articles that are posted every day, videos that are accessible and usually updated two or three times a week. There are links to all kinds of archival material. And at the top of the page, there's a place where people can type in their contact information and receive a free digital subscription to the magazine. Or they can order a physical copy of the magazine in exchange for paying the shipping. If they want to get a free copy, we'll send it to them. But, of course, they have to pay the freight for it. That's a pretty good deal. Republic Magazine is a sister publication to Survivalist Magazine, and there are links in the lower right-hand corner of the website for those who want to check out Survivalist Magazine, and some other members of the same publishing family. Pro Libertate is my personal blog. freedominourtime.blogspot.com is the web address. Pro Libertate, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I update it between once and twice a week when I'm not providing content for Republic magazine or doing work for the physical magazine, which comes out bimonthly. And those who read Pro Libertate, at the bottom of every essay will find a PayPal button, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, and that's where people can go to donate, to contribute, to help me keep my my family in some semblance of material comfort, by no means luxury, but at least where we have wherewith to be fed and clothed, you know, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The Apostle Paul said that because of the generosity of you, Dr. Stan, and many of your listeners and many like-minded people, that we've been able to realize those blessings. And for that, I'll always be grateful.
Well, we certainly encourage people to help and support with him. I had the hardest time talking him into putting that PayPal button up there. It took me several months, but I finally just had to twist his arm and order him to put that PayPal button up, which he finally did, and it has helped. So if you're in a position to help him, William, of course, is one of the most articulate people we have in the conservative movement. He has a family of six children and certainly a wife. And so if you're in a position to help him, well, we have to help those who are out there leading this battle, a truly spiritual battle for the souls of men, of the survival of Christian civilization. William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, Dr. Stan, once again, I am really grateful for everything you've done for me, for my family, and...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.